Let's open our Bibles to John 15. We've had now the exposition of the reading, so now we can just read it. But thank you, Sister Marie. I forget where we started yesterday, but it's your side this morning? All right. We'll start with Sister Liz, and then maybe we'll do this row here to Rachel, and then to Sister Nina, and then around the back that way. John 15, and we'll read verses 1 to 17.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, so that it may bring forth more fruit.
Thank you.
You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you.
Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me.
I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned.
If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and you will be done for you.
My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit, and prove to be my disciples.
Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in me.
If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends.
You're my friend if you do whatever I command you.
I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you.
You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you.
All together? These things I command you, that you love one another. Amen. I thought the first thing that we ought to write in our books this morning was something that Dad said, and it was about salvation. Do you remember that? What is salvation? Salvation is
Jesus living in us.
Always.
All the time.
We're getting there, brother. You're almost there. Sister Kyle, you wrote it down already?
No.
Oh.
Always receiving Jesus.
Dad, what did you say?
Receiving Jesus all the time.
Yes, salvation is receiving Jesus all the time. All right, put that down. Salvation is receiving Jesus all the time. It gives us a little different slant. But salvation is receiving Jesus all the time. We limit it, you know, sometimes we have a limited scope of that great salvation, our great salvation, so great salvation. And we think of when Jesus forgave us our sins, and that's a wonderful thing. But just think of it, salvation is receiving Jesus all the time, every moment of the day, continually. And so this is a wonderful picture we have here, an illustration. I think it would be something, it was something that was very familiar to these disciples, to anyone who heard this story. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about, the vine. Now, I'm not very familiar with the vine. I I maybe know of one that's growing in the church backyard, and it doesn't produce grapes that you would want to eat, but there's a vine there, but we don't take care of it. It just grows wild, and if it gets in the way, you cut it back. This past spring, or I guess early summer, the neighbor gave my wife a squash plant. And it must be a kind of a vine, because that thing just, like overnight, it'll grow, right?
That's not good. Don't plant those.
They go,
get rid of them.
They go crazy. And this has nothing to do with anything. I mean, maybe, I don't know, we'll see. But that squash, it has these little, I don't know what you would call them. It reaches out to grab onto things, right? And we had a little pepper plant next to it, and it's like it's got this little thing shooting out, grabbing and choking that pepper plant, you know. It just grows, and so I guess you have to cut it. Well, I go in there with the big shears, and I go whoosh, and I take off half of it, you know, and it comes out. But I'm not a husbandman, and I'm not a vine dresser. But here, I'm sure the people in Jesus' day knew exactly what Jesus was speaking of, and. Let's just get the picture in our minds. Maybe you have already, and Dad already has given us really the exposition of this chapter, and Sister Marie. But who is the vine? Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the true vine. You can put that down. Jesus is the true vine, and the Father is. Okay, the husbandman, the gardener, he's the one, maybe we could call him the vine dresser. Would that be he's the one that takes care of the vine. And we'll see how that fits in this chapter. All right, then who are you? You're the branch, right? We sang that, I'm a branch in the vine, the one true vine. Now, there's another thing that's very prominent in this reading, it's the word fruit, right? Fruit. So if the vine is a grapevine, what does it bear? Grapes, right? It bears grapes. And what else is part of the vine besides the grapes? There's leaves, right? There's leaves that come out on the branches. And it's really interesting with the squash. You get a flower, right? You get a flower. And then from behind the flowers, where the squash develops, and so we had a lot of flowers up maybe for a whole month, and even before we came to camp, we had no squash, and then maybe two or three days after we were here, we got a picture from Janet, and she says, "I think you have a squash." And there it was, a miracle of miracles. We had a squash, and now I think there's more than one. They ate that one already before we even got home to enjoy the fruit of our labor. And so you have these leaves, but the purpose of that vine, the purpose is to bring forth grapes or fruit, right? Whatever that vine is supposed to, that's the purpose for the vine. It's not that the vine is supposed to look pretty and it's supposed to have nice leaves all over it, and or for the squash, it's those yellow flowers are beautiful, beautiful yellow, and I think you can eat them as well. But that's not the purpose. It's not the flower, it's not the leaves. The purpose of the branch is to bear fruit. You got that? So what's the application for us, Noah? As a Christian, I need to bear fruit, right? Okay, now the next question that you should ask is, well, what's the fruit? As a Christian, what is the fruit? What do you think? Come on. No answer is wrong, really.
Our good deeds.
Okay, you think it's good, the good things that we do, right? Good deeds? Something else? What did Dad talk about? The fruit of the Spirit, right? Something else about fruit? Maybe souls? I think our Sister Marie kind of indicated that in her testimony about Sister Havergal. I'll come to you, Brother Allen. That the fruit is those that we can bring to Christ because of the way we live our lives.
you don't want to forget about the leaves, because the leaves have photosynthesis that bring oxygen and nutrition to the fruit. So the leaves are receiving the sunshine of His love, the sunshine of His goodness, so that in the watering of the Spirit, and there's a lot of...
Okay, so all these things work together to produce to produce the fruit. So I'd like to sum this up this way, the idea of fruit. I think it's anything, the fruit is anything that the Spirit of God is able to produce through our lives. Whether that's the fruit of the Spirit, whether that's the good deeds that we do, done in the Spirit, whether it's bringing others to Christ by sharing with them the love of God, anything that the Spirit of God produces in our lives, through our lives, is the fruit. Now, I notice that there are two kinds of branches. Tevin, you want to help me? What are the two kinds of branches? It's in verse 2. Verse 2. Read that and tell me the two types of branches.
Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit.
Okay, so what are the two types of branches?
Branches that bear fruit and branches that don't bear fruit.
Right, very, very simply. Branches that bear fruit and branches that don't bear fruit. So now what happens to the branches that don't bear fruit? Right, what does it say? Every branch that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Now here's the Father. See, the husbandman, the one who takes care of the vine, and again, I'm not a vine dresser, but I understand that if a branch in the vine is not bearing fruit, not fulfilling what it's intended to do, a vine dresser will cut that branch off and take it away. Why? Because it's drawing sap from the vine for itself, and as it were, taking it from other branches that are fruitful. Another place in this chapter, it says that the branches that are cut off, what are they? The gardener picks them up and he throws them into the fire and they are burned. Now, what about the branch that bears fruit? What does he do? Does he say, oh, that's a good-looking branch. Just look at all the fruit it's going to bear for me. What does he do? It is pruning. He prunes it. And I think maybe Brother John knows a little bit about pruning. A little bit, no? Do you prune trees? Not really.
He prunes it with a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw, yeah. Thank God. God doesn't use a chainsaw on us. But the idea is, again, that maybe that vine has to, maybe that branch has to be cut back a little bit. And I understand if the branch gets too long, or there's too many leaves, or there's too many other things, it limits the amount of fruit or the fruitfulness of that branch. And so there's the cutting back. And I guess off-season, too, it's good to cut back the branches. And then in the spring again, or when the season is for growth, then it'll grow back and it'll be more fruitful. And so when God works in our lives and He maybe takes things away and removes things from us, it may not feel, you know, good at that moment. But His design is that we be more fruitful. What brings glory to God? What is it that glorifies God according to this passage? Our fruitfulness. Maybe, as it's been said, it's the bearing the fruits of the Spirit. It's Christ-likeness. It's being a light for Him. It's allowing, again, the Holy Spirit to use us to bless others. And God wants us to be more fruitful. It's wonderful when you get a nice cluster of grapes. I love grapes. But how blessed it is when God is able to increase the fruitfulness of our lives. And again, it's not for ourselves. I think that's one of the pictures I see here. If it's all about us, if this Christian experience is all about me and there's no fruit, if the Holy Spirit is not able to work in my life and to transform me and to change me, I think that we become useless in the kingdom of God. I go back to the story of Abraham. God made great promise to Abraham, but he said it to him this way: I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. If God blesses your life, it's with the intent that you be a blessing. And so, just like any body of water that's stagnant, where it only flows in and there's no flow out, that body of water eventually becomes useless, dead. And if we only are in this for ourselves, as it were, what can God do for me? Then we will become useless in his kingdom. There's so much here and we're running out of time, but let's just go down to verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, some of the other translations, the word was remain, right? And continue. And you get the thought, right? Dad made that pretty clear, that the branch is connected to the vine. Is the branch only connected to vine on Sunday morning? No. The branch is connected to the vine all the time. All the time. And all the time we can have the flow. That sap can flow into our lives. The Holy Spirit. I think that's maybe a picture of the sap. That life flowing from the vine into the branch all the time. But here it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Here again, that thought of obedience and of allowing God's words to abide in us. How is it that we abide in the vine? Well, here it is. It's as his words abide in us. Has the word of God found a place in your life? Does the word of God have its rightful place in your life? Do we bow before God's word? Do we tremble at his word? Do we reverence his word? Have we hid his word in our hearts? Well, if that word remains in you, then you can ask in prayer. Ask what you will, and it shall be done. What a wonderful promise. Verse 9, as my Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. I think this relationship that we're brought into is a love relationship. That connection, that close, intimate connection of the branch to the vine is kept there by love. He loves me. I love him. If you abide in my love, if you remain in my love, if you keep my commandments, here it is again. We had that yesterday, didn't we, in the 14th chapter. Here it is in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And now he tells his disciples, you know why I'm telling you these things? You know why I'm sharing these things with you? It's so that my joy might remain in you and your joy may be full. Hallelujah. And so if we would take these things to heart, beloved, I believe we would experience in a greater measure the joy of the Lord, his joy in us, and our joy being full, complete. This is my commandment, verse 12, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do, again, whatsoever I command you. And so again, we're faced with this thought of obedience. Am I doing what he says? Am I walking in the light of his word? Am I doing his will? apart from obedience, I don't believe there is abiding. We need to learn to obey. And then he's able to communicate his life to us. And he reveals himself. He comes to us. He calls us his friends. I've always had to stop at this next verse where it says, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Jesus calls us his friend. And then he explains what that means. He shares with us his heart. He's able to speak to us, to maybe take us deeper. Are you his friend? Are you a friend of God? And so there's a wonderful call that goes out again this morning. Jesus speaking to his disciples, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Hallelujah. He's chosen us, beloved. And what is the purpose? That you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And so let's come in that confidence. Lord, you've made promise. You've made choice. You've chosen us and ordained us that we should bring forth fruit, that our lives should reflect your grace, that there should be that fruit of the Spirit, that there should be souls that are brought to the kingdom through our lives, that we should be just what Jesus wants us to be every moment of every day. And so there's a challenge here, I'm sure, but there's grace flowing this morning for everyone who will receive. Oh Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, unite us more perfectly to yourself. Lord Jesus, we want that flow of the life of God, the Holy Spirit, to continually flood our beings. Lord, that we can, and not in ourselves, produce the fruit, but that you can produce that fruit in us. God, remove things from our lives that hinder your working, things that maybe are not needed. They might not be sinful, Lord, but they're not needful. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd show us and that we would allow you to prune us so that we can bring forth more fruit to the glory of God. Lord Jesus, you must make these things real to our hearts. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, illumine us. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the call to abide in you. And Lord, we say yes. I want to abide. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Daily Manna, there's a quote from Uncle Hans. It goes something like this: "When we are cleansed, then we know that we are clean. When he has cleansed us, and we know that we are clean, the way is open for an abiding life." And so, Lord, cleanse our hearts from anything that displeases you, so that we can truly abide in that vine, in Christ Jesus. Be glorified today. Amen. This friend so dear, best of all, I know he is mine. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Teach us today, Lord, how to abide more closely, Lord. Help us to learn this lesson, Lord, this day, and apply it to our lives this day, Lord, so we can take this with us, oh, dear God. So, Lord, we yield to you as the branch and the vine. And just pray that today, Lord, your life would flow in us and through us if it can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.